Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 382. With us this week for live-related purposes is Mr. Jeremy Mays. How are you doing, sir?
Hello, sir. Doing good. What's going on, guys?
Well, on the other end here, since we have three people on the line, is Mr. Chris Calamita. How are you doing?
I am doing great, Kevin. Absolutely great. I unlike Carmella, I do not feel like hitting anyone with a chair right in the tits.
Did she really say that?
Did you?
She
said that she was going to take a chair and whack her right in her twins.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right in her Bella twins. And
because on SmackDown, you had Becky Lynch call Alexa Bliss a bitch. And then later on, Dean Ambrose comes in and says, "There you are, you bastard," to AJ Styles. I was like, "What?" I hit up Shahid going, "What's going on? This is crazy for WWE." I mean, it wasn't like a guy saying, "They're going to make you your bitch," or whatever, you know, when they throw that line on Raw. This was another woman just flat out calling another woman a bitch with, like, in anger. It was great.
It was great, because Becky is just so corny and cheesy when she's in a good, happy place, but obviously she's angry, so...
Yeah.
She dropped the bitch bomb, and the crowd gasped along as they were supposed to.
Yeah, see, it's like, I mean, it is cursing, but, you know, without using, you know, the big bombs, cursing does have a place in these shows. I mean, that... It fits, because it would have been terrible to be like, "I'm gonna kick that jerk's butt or whatever." I mean, it's not like Jericho's stupid idiot, which is mad over. But
yeah, that does. I mean, he's been getting a good reaction with that for a while now.
Have you guys noticed? And he didn't do this last night. They dropped the whole it. Thing. He doesn't do that anymore.
Well, he had too many good catchphrases.
True.
I mean, he had it, he had the list, he also, soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
Drink it in.
Yeah, drink it in, soak it in, and he was wearing it, man. Yeah. Alright, I'm gonna shut this.
Oh, yeah, I may as well not be watching 205 Live. Like, that's just on there for no purpose whatsoever.
So, I guess we won't cover 205 Live. Oh, well. I don't mean, like, oh, well, like, I'm not interested. Just, oh, well, we're not going to be able to do it. So
Yeah. We're not listening to the commentary. We're not paying attention while we watch it as soon as we're not here. But right now, no. We've got plenty to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So, you said you want to start with Raw. I know we just jumped on the Becky Lynch thing.
Well, Chris is just screwing us up. I guess we can move back to that stuff. It did kind of crack me up when we were talking earlier today that I was pretty sure that somebody stole your body, Jeremy, and was typing for you. You being pleasant about the WWE product is, how do I have come up with a good analogy for this one?
Now, I know I'm usually pretty harsh on stuff, but it's been the last few weeks. Well, SmackDown's just been a good period.
Right.
But even Raw the last few weeks, I mean, it's got some clunky stuff, but it's been pretty good. I mean, 3 hours is still too long. And that was my first, well, no. Yeah, we didn't go to Dallas for Raw, did we?
No. No, we didn't.
Okay, I didn't think so. And then was, yeah, because the last Raw I went to, I believe, was after WrestleMania 32. Or, 30.
Okay.
And that was only 2 hours, right?
Oh.
No, they were 3 hours by that point.
Was it? Oh.
They've been 3 hours since... July of 2012, after they did the 1,000th episode.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was saying corrected.
Yeah, just ask the human encyclopedia of wrestling knowledge on the other end.
No, it's all right. I stand corrected on that one. I could have sworn it was my first 3-hour one, but it felt like 3 hours after the first hour. That sounded a little harsh, but they packed so much talking and small segments into that first hour. I looked at my phone and it said 9:02. It's like, wait, what? It's like, we've been here a while, and we got there at like 7:40. So we saw just as a main event was starting, which was my first fun interaction of the night. We were on the floor, and we were right next to where Sasha made Charlotte tap out. We could see it directly from where we were sitting. Well, this poor kid, it's this kid sitting at the end of the aisle, my buddy and then me, and we're watching, and Sin Cara's music. Oh, spoilers, everybody. Main event this week. Yeah. Sin Cara and Dallas. Or is it Superstars? Whatever it is. Well, Sin Cara's music hits. That kid goes nuts, pulls down a Sin Cara mask, and is going crazy. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. He's like 10. And then here's the spoiler. He loses clean to Bo Dallas.
That's brutal.
That kid, as soon as it hits 3, I looked over at him. He just yanks the mask off his head, and he was not pleased. And I just was like, it's kind of disappointing, huh? Sorry. But it didn't ruin his time. It didn't ruin his time, the rest of it. But it was like the first match, the guy he wants to see loses in a pretty fun match in like 6 minutes clean, too. So that was pretty much how the evening started.
I can't believe they got 6 minutes.
I'll tell you what, Bo Dallas is in hella good shape now. It's obvious. He wasn't on Raw this week, obviously, but I don't know what kind of juju he's doing, but he's got some definition to him. He looks way slimmer. I don't know why all of a sudden he's doing this, but good on him, because it will help him.
He's ever since they kind of brought him back as the meaner Bo Dallas. I've felt like he's looked like he's in better shape in general.
And he's still carrying around that dumbass sign, though. It's like, which is, I'm guessing that's why he was doing that anyways. But, and one thing, and I mentioned this to my buddy Frage, has he ever tried starting, like, on one side of the ring, getting someone to say Bo, then run to the other side, and they'll do leave? So you could get half the arena saying Bo, the other side saying Bo, or leave, so just be Bo, leave. Doesn't that sound kind of obvious that should be happening?
You could do that if you were a baby face. I'm not sure about doing it while you're a heel.
Well, here's the thing. So, I'm jumping way ahead. During the commercial break of New Day and Gallows and Anderson was clearly playing to the crowd, trying to get them to chant Gallows Rocks. he's on the ring post, standing up, like doing the hand clap, and people started doing it, and he started laughing and was like, just stop doing that. This is a house show, man. This is a television show. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, he definitely from his drunk interviews with Jericho, they both Anderson and Gallows seem like a couple of characters, so I'm not surprised. But
I've got to check out the most recent one they did. I haven't yet, where apparently Braun Strowman joins in the fun and it shows quite the sense of humor, apparently.
Yes, he does. I thought it was a really good show. It takes him a while to get used to, well, basically Jericho, Luke Gallows is tore up. And I just they started coming up with the names from where Braun Strowman is from. And Gallows is a riot. Well, Anderson doesn't sound drunk at all. And he's just trying to play peacemaker, like, stop saying this stuff. We're going to get in trouble. And there's actually a part where they correct Jericho to purposely not get somebody in trouble. But speaking of Jericho, that guy is way over, and nobody really wants to boo him. If it wasn't for Kevin Owens, no one would boo Chris Jericho. It was great. That all that stuff with the list is way over. There were people with signs, they put me on the list. There were people doing the it thing. Like, one guy's like, I got it. His buddy's like, what? He's like, and then someone else was like, it. It's like, oh my God. But.
Yeah, I guess that did give me a little, it was a little bit surprising that you had mentioned that Jericho was on a 3-month contract. Just because,
he was supposed to be gone already.
Yes.
He keeps extending his stay here. I mean, I guess he has to be gone at some point, but I can't imagine he'd want to be gone before WrestleMania. Although, then again, he's also the guy who signed on for a house show only contract last year, so who knows?
And I don't know where I read it, but apparently he's on a rolling 3-month contract. So basically what I was telling Kevin was, you know, they did the breakup thing again, so it kind of would make sense if, I'm sure he's probably going to come back at the pay-per-view and help Owens, or maybe cost Owens, I don't know. But then maybe have something happen to where he doesn't show back up till WrestleMania again. Because I know Fozzy's supposed to tour again. And they always tour in the summer, so that's a big passion of his. But
I guess you could do Jericho versus Owens at the Royal Rumble. So, because it looks like they're really, because it's a big but not that big title match for the Rumble, so which frees up like Reigns and Rollins to be in the Rumble match, because they're obviously trying to build up the Rumble match to be, you know, the Rumble match itself to be the biggest one in years.
Well, it's off to a good start at least. That was a good surprise too. And it's funny being in the live crowd. Well, first that show was way louder than it is on TV. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if it's they've got the crowd toned down to hear the announcers more, but the opening for that show was hot. It was loud in there. And then when Roman Reigns came out, it was loud in there. Mostly cheers, actually. And then later on in the show, I was telling Kevin, this is the part I didn't get a chance to get to, which thanks. They had an, I don't know if you guys remember this. We were there. Remember when somebody would get up on, like, the corner post and they do their move with their arms, whatever? They would blare the music and then turn it down when they jump back down off the ropes. They did it when we were in Raw in Atlanta after WrestleMania. Oh. It was a while ago, so.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've heard that as much in my recent live showings of Raw, but I do remember what you're talking about.
I never forget this. I think it was Triple H got on the ropes or something. It blared really loud, and Eric sarcastically just starts yelling, "Wow, that's so cool!" I don't know why that stuck in my head, but it sure did. But what I noticed was when Roman Reigns, he came down for that match with Kevin Owens, the actual match, not the
opening segment.
When he got on the ropes, he raised his hands. They piped in cheering because nobody around, like, all of us were like, yeah, there he is again, because the excitement for everybody the second time around wasn't as great as the first time.
I must have left it open getting beer.
So when he got up there, the cheers were really loud, but we're all looking around like, well, no one's really doing anything. So it was just kind of weird because they don't usually do that, you know? That's usually that used to be the old taped SmackDown thing. But he didn't need it.
Now the crowd reaction I want to know most about. about the 3-minute headlock spot. How was the crowd during that?
I'm telling you, that crowd was hot for everything. No one got stir crazy, nothing. It was okay, here we go. Because that, watching the matches, I had a lot more fun live than I did watching them on TV.
Oh, yeah. The experience has totally flipped. I mean, I used to think that most of the time TV was better. In fact, that's the reason why, even during the hottest period in wrestling history, during the Attitude Era, I only went to one episode of Raw when it came to town. And almost no house shows. Because it just felt like the whole experience was better on TV. But now, with commentary where it is, and, you know, crowds being more interactive and having more of a mind of their own, I'd say the live experience is definitely a lot more fun.
And they keep you, well, the problem is, well, the TV, outside the ring, we were on the floor, so that's probably why it didn't help. But whenever someone goes outside the ring, it's really difficult because the Hornets have some gigantic new scoreboard that WWE or whoever runs Spectrum Center folded it up, and it was actually inside of whatever WWE's ring setup was. So you only had to depend on the outside of the scoreboard to look to see what was going on when, like, people were outside the ring, backstage stuff, except on the Tron, which that stage, that new setup they have, everybody looks like a star with that thing. It is incredible. Enzo and Cass came out. And first, the crowd went crazy for them. But then when they're, like, Titantron pops up, and you got all the different lights in that. Charlotte was another one. It just seems like, wow, these people are a big deal. Whether or not they really are is debatable. But you're not going to have, like, any half-assed effort, that's for sure. And I love that production stuff. I was all over that stuff all night. Because we were right next to the production people. So we could see the TVs. So I'm like, looks like Paul Heyman's up next. They would show, get everything in queue. And then, sure enough, there was the Paul Heyman thing. And then, here's this. And then, Ric Flair was not on the TVs, though. I was checking as much as I could, like a nerd. But, the headlock spot, I didn't even realize how long that went until someone pointed it out. So I was like, oh. But that match was pretty damn good to watch. And for as much criticism as his character may get, because I think Roman's kind of just a little nerd, or they write him as a nerd, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was brutal during the opening segment. The material at hand and his delivery.
I didn't think it was all that bad. I mean, what's he supposed to say? He comes out and he, you know, joke Owens jokes, like, oh, all right. But then when he says, I want fight Owens fights, like, yeah, that's kind of what you want. So, I don't know.
Whenever he stops being The Rock and starts being the badass Samoan, things turn a corner for the better for him. But they keep wanting to write him the cute lines like Rock and Johnson.
Well, I guess I didn't mind. All that cute. Like, I didn't think that was all that cute. I thought it actually made sense.
That's the part I like. That's the part I like. That's when he kind of turned around. I'm trying to remember now this interview, this promo from last night, but I just remember the time not liking it.
Well, one thing he said, it was, spoiler alert, it ends with me kicking your ass. And I'm like, all right. But, no, basically all he did was just tell Owens, he's like, you know, basically laid it out for him, saying, you can't do anything without him helping you. And the one thing I didn't like was that he said, well, check with the missus. I'm like, that's kind of an antiquated thing, but he's also, you know, basically calling him a little bitch, which, whatever. But in the ring, he is a presence up close. Holy shit. Go ahead, Kev.
No, I was just going to say, I just remember when they were still doing the Shield entrance, we had seats near where they were coming down, and that guy is a huge human being. So, and I've never felt like his wrestling was the problem. It is more the gimmick that they've given him that's been the problem.
Well, he sells really weird, which I never noticed before. Not weird, but just different. I don't know if he's got asthma or whatever it is, but it's always like he's in like some sort of gasping, like semi-orgasmic state. I know, it's the only way I can describe it off the top of my head.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to watch his selling more next week now.
But I even turned to my buddy Frazier, like, Roman Reigns sells kind of weird, huh? He's like, yeah, I never noticed that before. Hey, this is just something new. But when he makes his comeback, and I think it was a running clothesline in the corner or a splash or something on Owens. And we talked about this off air too, Kev. Those corner splashes and that, I don't know how they don't kill guys. When Strowman did that straight at us on R-Truth, I'm like, I don't know how Truth isn't dead. I don't understand this at all. I mean, I know they're professionals, that's why. But then Roman did the same thing to Kevin Owens, and he also did the run. Drive-by? Are they still calling it that?
Yeah, the apron drop kick. Yeah, it's the drive-by.
He came around the corner and then jumped. Well, we kind of lost him when he came around the corner. All of a sudden, there goes Roman Reigns flying in the air. And I was like, oh, he hit the drive-by. And that, I don't know. I think they need to get his character right, and then I think this is the first time, because I'm still not a huge fan. I think this is the first time I'm actually looking at Roman Reigns going, oh, I kind of see what they got with this guy now. But like you said, Chris, that's the live experience, not on TV. They're not capturing it on TV, for me at least. So.
Well, and I think that we kind of pointed it out, at least somewhat, when we went to WrestleMania. There were a shit ton of people with Reigns gear on.
Oh, that's another thing.
You know, I know the crowd reaction is what it is, but it kind of mirrors that John Cena thing where you saw people booing.
Keep going. Yep.
But then they had his merchandise on, and it's just like,
yep.
Am I missing something? Did I drink too much? Did I smoke too much before I came to this show? Like
all
what
definite possibilities, but not that time. The exact same thing happened yesterday. There's a whole family of Roman Reigns fans. People are chanting, "Roman, let's go, Roman! Roman sucks." All of a sudden, I look around and I'm like, these are the same people saying the same thing.
Yep,
what are you doing? And the mom was really into it. Women and children love Roman Reigns. At least all the people around us did.
I've seen it, I know it.
Yeah, well, this wife, or the mom, is just really into, let's go Roman. And then when it gets to the Roman sucks, she was turning around to other people, like, trying to get them to say Roman, Roman sucks. Like, what the hell are you doing? I guess you want it both ways. But he got their $125 for shirts for the clan. So what's he matter? Or for the clan, I should say.
Yeah, I did enjoy that the WWE featured a couple of young ladies with the Roman Reigns t-shirts on to kind of make a point. They're like, we don't care. We're selling to this demographic. You can boo if you want to.
Because, and I've read about them doing this, and he was doing this on purpose. When he got in the ring, you know, he does, like, he gets us outside the ring, gets on the corner, does the arms in the air.
Yeah.
I wish I would have been able to see this. He distinctly saw some people in the crowd booing him. And you could tell he made eye contact. It was like not head nod or real quick. Went right to the corner and was looking at them when he did it. And I was like, what a dick! I was like, dude, that's why they're booing you. Which will eventually turn them, so they'll cheer. So then when he got down, you know, Kevin Owens, the camera's giving me a Kevin Owens, he was just right in that corner, like, leaning over the ropes and, like, giving him, like, the hang loose sign. And then he was, like, pounding his heart saying, I love you. And then just turned around. And then he paid attention to the kids and that, like waving to them, doing all that stuff. That's the Roman Reigns I think the adults, like the adult males, want to see. Because that'll instantly get them to cheer for him. I mean, Kevin Owens is a dick, and all the adult males like him.
I guarantee Roman Reigns was shoving nerds in lockers and high school. He was the alpha male jock, you know, in his day. I know it.
Yeah, and they won't, they don't, obviously let it, unleash too much, except for these instances, and those just crack me up.
Wait a minute, I don't know what that says about me, though. If people in lockers, that's the guy I want to see. Yeah, well, I do, so I don't care, because that guy was cool. And then after the match was over, he was doing the same thing. He would go over there, say hi to like the fans cheering and whatever. But there was somebody else. He would taunt him a little bit. I was like, I don't know if that's best for your character or not, but screw him. That looks like fun. But it was the whole Roman sucks. Let's go with Roman chance for people wearing their merchandise, holding his signs up.
Man, you've already given me so much to pay attention for in a mere 3 weeks when I attend Raw myself.
I don't know, man. I think it's been a while. The last wrestling show I went to NXT here. That was also the same week we got back from WrestleMania. So it's been a while, but I had nothing but a good time. So
I guess at least here, and like I said, maybe it was the fact that I wasn't feeling the greatest yesterday that I wasn't all that enamored with the first couple of hours, but I guess it also...
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Chris.
They backloaded that show in a way that they haven't in a long time. I mean, four important things were all in the third hour.
Yeah, the big stuff, yeah. People were really into Mick Foley and Sami Zayn. That was one of the funny things was, and this was how it happened with most of it, Zayn and Mick Foley were in the ring the whole time during commercial, and you're like, what are they talking about? Then all of a sudden, all right, we're mad at each other. And then, was that Byron Saxton? Was he in there?
No, yeah. I think it was Graves in the ring. No, wait. Ray was in the ring later. I think it was Byron then.
Okay.
It was Byron.
So, yeah, they rushed Byron out there. And because it was a beeline, just jumps off, and they literally run down to get into the ring in time. And the best one was Corey Graves runs down for that weird Rich Swann interview.
Oh.
Graves hauled ass to get into that ring for 15 seconds of time.
Yeah,
and he was done, and he just walked back like, well, I got plenty of time now.
Yeah, I was going to say, only to get tossed out in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Graves is a big dude, too. I didn't realize that. I mean, I know he's a former wrestler, but he was still a big dude. That was kind of surprising. More so than Byron Saxton, who seems to be like a more muscular dude, but... Now that I know it's probably shocking. I'm just nothing but positive about it, but it was a fun experience. It went by quick. After that first hour, it went by pretty fast. Because like you said, Chris, they backloaded it. One thing I thought was weird, I don't know why they had Sasha and Charlotte come out and then have them come out later. Like, it was in Charlotte, but I expect them to just like make it like and make the anticipation grow. But
it was a good way to hook the audience for the rest of the way. You know, hopefully, I guess if the ratings bear that. But I think that's what it was. I mean, they did a, with the backstage segment with Sasha, you know, bringing up the Ric Flair thing for the first time in a long-ass time, and saying that she was dedicating the match to him.
Yeah.
That was a pretty ingenious way to switch the crowd. It did, you know, I don't know, maybe the crowd didn't switch right away, but as the match went on, you could feel it. It was, what, it might have been 50-50 by the end of the match, and then, of course, everyone was happy by the end, everyone they'd witnessed.
What was funny was, I forgot this, so I was sitting next to Ric Flair's niece.
Really?
And her kids. Huh. Yeah, because these kids kept running back and forth in front of us, and I'm like, come on. And she goes, hey, I'm sorry. They're sitting up there with their uncle, and it's like, it's Ric Flair's son. It was David Flair, who looks unrecognizable now. He's living a regular person's life instead of being, what, 18, 20, whatever he was in WCW.
Right.
He's chubby. He's got a long beard, and he just chills the fuck out the whole time. And there were, like, his kids, some other kids, just running around all over. That whole front row on the hard camera side was empty. And then the kids would run up there for a match, especially with Charlotte. They'd see something, they'd run over there. And then finally, I think the dad just said, just stay up there. So, like, that whole little section right there was, like, David and a bunch of other people. And security and the production team kept clearing the aisle out, so we figured Rick was coming down sooner or later. Especially when Sasha said, I'm going to dedicate this match to him. And I hit up Shahid immediately once he did come out asking, is this actually on TV? Because we couldn't tell. But I guess it was. So, but, yeah, it was all that little fun stuff. And, like, where she put her into the bank. I guess that's the bank statement.
Yeah.
Through the guardrail. That was right next to us.
Modified version, as Michael Cole would say.
And as I was telling Kevin, all those fans that were there cheering on and not, like, using their cell phones and all that, those were all wrestlers from PWX here in town who were also the same guys that were in the bar fight at Blackfin. It's the same people. I didn't see Tessa Blanchard live, but everybody else, yeah, that was that whole group. And people, the weird thing was people recognized them. Because the guy with the beard showed up, people started cheering. And then when they showed up in the crowd next to us, everyone started cheering. So, but yeah, everything else at Raw, that was top-notch shit, man. It's.
So you're telling me that Sasha didn't jump into the laps of regular fans after the match was over?
No, not okay. So much, no. Maybe one or two might have snuck through, but yeah, no, they were. And boy, Charlotte was bawling her eyes out. That was uncomfortable after a while. The whole time Flair and Sasha are in the ring, you know, Sasha's in the ring, Flair comes out, Charlotte is over there just crying the whole time. I'm like, is, you know, this isn't real, but okay. So, a good actress, put it that way. So.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see emotion from people, and yes, it's more okay for women to show that kind of emotion, yeah. I'm just building up to saying, fuck you, Sean Radican, for what you tweeted about earlier about how you're tired of seeing Sasha crying after winning the title for the third time. It's called showing emotion. I know you don't show it. I know you don't see any emotion in any of those indie DVDs you get paid to give positive reviews to, but...
What the hell is going on? What is... Huh?
Yeah, the last time I paid attention to Sean Radican was the first time that I paid attention to him.
Check something that Cam quote tweeted earlier tonight.
Oh boy.
I need to get that out of my chest, though.
Kids in your internet beef.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just stupid. To say something like that is just dumb. Just because anyone who wins a championship in sports pretty much cries. Like, every time they do it, even if they're a two-time or a three-time champion. I mean, again, recognizing that this is a made-up sport that is scripted by other people, that is not, it's a good thing. Like, the only thing that I could see complaining about, and I am not one of these persons, is just the hot potato aspect of the title.
I saw one of the like memes, and it was everybody like on the top. It's all the SmackDown diva or women wrestlers. It's funny. I never liked that diva's name, and I'm having a hard time not using it all the time still.
Right.
All the women's wrestlers. It's like on SmackDown, everyone gets a chance for the title, and underneath it was Sasha and Charlotte. And it said on Raw, it's just these two or something like that. It's like. Yeah, they're not wrong. So that's kind of how it's going. But I expected Nia Jax to interfere last night. But go ahead with what you were going to say.
I did not expect a title change. Was saying that that you know this was to kick Sasha down the ladder once and for all and move up Bayley. But I mean, I do think that maybe long range the you know Bayley might be the most marketable. So but Ross. You know, the Raw women still have to be on pay-per-view three more times before WrestleMania. It's too soon for Bayley to, you know, her character can't afford to lose once or twice, but we start getting into three or four times, that's a little much. So, yeah, I mean, you can get one more match out of Charlotte and Sasha. Say, you know, no matter what happens, this is it. But whatever gimmick on it, say that Sasha's, you know, she's, you know, for whatever reason she is... you know, signing off out off on think of the word she is foregoing her guaranteed rematch to have this one final match.
That's what I was trying to figure out was, are they actually going to have a rematch now because there's a title change? Because wasn't this supposed to be the transcending of the women's division? Whatever Mick Foley said.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the end, but they're so stuck into this. Every former champion gets their guaranteed rematch. That they're stuck with it, and they know that it's like the one rule that's in the fake rule book that they have to adhere to.
I guess I'm not bad with another rematch, but it really is one of those.
The best match they had against each other. I thought I was done with it too, but I'm like, okay, we're gonna keep doing this. Let's go.
Well, I do think that they need to make a decision and kind of stick with it at some juncture. Because it as good as it's been, it always gets tired at some point. Like, I as much as I love the Cesaro and Sheamus matches, and while I'm almost talking myself out of it, thinking that there was never anything at stake in those matches, essentially. And I'm not even talking about the best of seven. I think when I first saw that match, it was so hard-hitting, and it was a lot of fun. I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. I could watch this every week, and then they put it on every week, and it got old. The one thing that they're at least doing with Charlotte and Sasha is that A, something's at stake, the women's title, and B, they're keeping them separated for the most part in between these matches, which is another key aspect that they didn't do with Cesaro and Sheamus. And that, I mean, that's just one of probably many examples that I could make.
I mean, I guess I get that, you know, like the constant talk of about history during Charlotte Sasha matches, it does get a little bit tiring, but that's just the company in general, and especially Raw, where everything just has to be, you know, over-branded with something.
I heard what you said, but I got kind of lost on, not lost on what something Kevin said. I got stuck on something Kevin said. Because I remember saying the same thing about Sheamus and Cesaro, but then I think I wouldn't have gotten tired of it if the matches weren't put together so weird. Like, what it was, just, yeah, because Sheamus went up 3-0, and they were all kind of dominant, and then one wasn't on TV, and I was like, well, I wanted to see the two guys beat the hell out of each other again. I didn't want this stuff, and then just, so maybe it would have been better that way, but I don't know. With I hear what you're saying about how they can do Sasha and Charlotte again, but it's like, yeah, Bayley, Nia, oh my God, Alicia Fox, even though it looks like she's just pining for Cedric Alexander. You know, the hometown boy, the entire crowd was really into that lost. What other women are on Raw that wrestle? Dana Brooke?
Dana Brooke, but they threw her the bone with the Dana feud, and she, you know, coughed really it up, work. You would say, or she, they obviously, you know, they believe she failed. She failed her big test, so, you know, she's, you know, sidekick for, not light, but sidekick for a while.
Oh, Emelina. I forgot Emelina coming soon. Yeah, okay. Oh, premiering.
Premiering, yes. But she's been premiering for, you know, about 2 months now. It's getting to be time, unless she's not still not 100% physically ready, but yeah. But yeah, you know, no. Looks like she's coming back with a character, and we know she can work, so she'll be a welcome addition to the, well, what will become, I guess, a foursome near the top, or a fivesome. Thing with Nia Jax is, it's. I don't think that she should be the champion. So it's just building her up for one match where she loses, and then I don't know what from there. Actually, she's already lost. She's already tapped to Becky Lynch. So.
Yeah, which that was a weird decision, but whatever. I don't know. I just. How do you. The way this has to turn out is if they do another one, Sasha kind of has to stick with the title, right? Because if Charlotte wins, then they trade again. Like.
I think Sasha needs to win the final match. You know, if there is one, unless they figure something tricky, then to, you know, move into, you know, Sasha versus Nia and Charlotte versus Bayley. And that might be possible if they can figure out a way to get around this whole, this hard and fast rule that they stick through. But yeah, I mean, because you could go either way. You could do Charlotte versus Bayley for the title, or you can turn Sasha heel and do Charlotte Sasha versus Bayley. Both dynamics are proven to work. Actually, the Sasha Bayley dynamic is even more proven to work than the.
Wouldn't it be fun? I don't know. I always thought Sasha was better as a heel, anyways.
Oh yeah,
she was kind of a dick last night too.
Yeah. I mean,
they're telling Bayley, well, this isn't about you. It's like, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's foreshadowing and not just a conscientious decision to just, I should say that a non-conscientious decision that, you know, that they're just not seeing how that's viewed.
Yeah.
And then over on SmackDown, it was pretty stable. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the matches aren't as strong, but I. And it goes back to the, you know, Charlotte and Sasha, the overuse of the word history and history-making to describe their matches. Meanwhile, over on SmackDown, you've just got two personal issues that are overall better, you know, written than the stuff that they give Charlotte and Sasha as far as their motivations.
Oh, that's me nodding my head yes, for those of you listening. Because, well, at least Chris and I have talked about it. And it kind of goes to what you were saying, Jeremy, like, you're trying to figure out who's on Raw on the women's side. Like, that's how much attention, they've devoted so much attention to the history making, Sasha and Charlotte, that literally every other woman on that show has suffered because of it. Like, everybody wanted Bayley to come up, but... What's Bayley done since then? Pretty much nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't pulled the trigger on her yet. And I believe they will. In the end, I think, you know, heading for WrestleMania especially. But the Raw Women's, you know, we don't know if Paige or Summer Rae will ever wrestle again. They both have weird issues surrounding them. So that then just leaves, well, okay, Emelina's coming back, and, you know, she's got a new character that's going to, you know, looks like they're going to push, and she can work. You got Nia and Dana, who are both mega works in progress. Alicia Fox, who's been around for 10 years, but still has never quite gotten it. And then, you know, Charlotte, Bailey, and Sasha, who are just going to keep, you know, wrestling each other, you know, round robin style for however long things work between them. I threw a lot out there, so go ahead, take up whatever you want.
I was going to say, there's a lot of girls in NXT, though. I'm sorry, women that are in NXT that can get called up. Although, I was listening to Meltzer the other day, and he didn't seem to think, like, Asuka's ever going to make the main roster. I thought that was weird. I thought that was the point of NXT.
They hired a Japanese woman in her mid-30s to basically play their coach. They I don't know if they thought that she was going to get old, you know, I should say NXT, you know, over at the NXT levels as much as she has.
Well, I guess my only counter to that argument would be, well, they never gave Sarah Del Rey a chance, so they could have had an extreme player coach there.
It's kind of funny that a couple of years can make a big difference. Like, I don't know when they signed her, but it was really before Charlotte and all of them broke out. So, I mean,
she's the reason. I mean, she's the reason that they broke out. I mean, they all credit her.
Yeah, so I just don't think that...
I need to repeat that. I'm sorry, I was talking over it. But no, I think she's fallen in love with being a trainer. I don't think she even wanted to be a trainer.
So what were you saying, Kevin? You guys did talk over each other.
It's right to point out that Del Rey was probably the one that caused the breakout, but that kind of is the, you know, like I said, it's also the reason why she didn't ever make it. Like, she was old enough by the time that all these other people got developed that they didn't, either she loved the training that much, which I guess I don't know. I don't see the segments or, you know, if it's not on TV, I probably don't know the information.
I'm going back to Asuka. I mean, you got to admit, a Japanese woman in her mid-30s is the most un-WWE signing probably in a long time.
And who speaks very little English, but I'll tell you what, I see the rare tweet from her and it kind of cracks me up.
she's got a bit of a dry sense of humor.
I'm not sure.
Talking about a woman in her mid 30s, but if you look at her, I know this is a vanity business. She doesn't look any worse than anybody else. So the age doesn't matter if she's still, you know, it's the old tread on the tires. You know, they could be way old, but there's still going to be plenty of use out of them. So it'd almost be beneficial to have that on there. And yes, she speaks little English, but we're kind of living in a different time now. And I think WWE is actually getting that. I mean, look at her. She's not coming out to the, you know, Orient Express music or whatever. She's got a badass. I'm trying to think who else in NXT has better music. Bobby Roode doesn't count. No one's ever getting better than his. So, who in NXT has better music than Asuka to come out to? Nakamura doesn't count either.
No way, Jose.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking away two obvious ones. But, No Way Jose's got some catchy-ass music. You're not wrong. But, Asuka's is badass music. That's a woman's wrestler who, right, you know, Japanese, mid-30s, she's got a badass entrance song, too. Which, you would think, if that was the case, to be like, yeah, we'll give her something good. So, I don't buy the age. Maybe the Japanese part would be a little rough because of the English, but again, they can come up with ways around that. I mean, almost could pull a Roman Reigns with her, the way the old Roman Reigns used to be, silent.
Well, silent, and I mean, isn't that, I'll admit, I haven't really watched much NXT since WrestleMania, but I mean, isn't that basically what they're doing with her anyway? You know, she's just kind of an ass kicker who doesn't really do a whole lot of talking.
They've got her talking a little bit more now, but also she's becoming, is arrogant the right word, Chris?
She's a tweener heading toward the field. I mean,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that they'll a long range plan for the, well, but not so, well, between now and, you know, the Rumble weekend takeover and the WrestleMania weekend takeover, it's, you know, obviously Ember Moon's their girl that they're going to be putting.
Gosh,
They're going to be putting Asuka against. I mean, it is interesting. You did say that, you know, that there's women in NXT, but the reason Mickie James got that call is because they weren't ready to go for Ember Moon.
Oh yeah.
And none of the rest of them are anywhere near ready.
No, not yet. Peyton Royce isn't so bad.
Peyton Royce is like KR, right? I mean,
character-wise, new. They are nowhere near.
No. I mean, they're doing, you know, the retread of the BFF sack between, you know, beautiful people, you know, Layla, Michelle, and McCool, you know, even when in NXT, when Summer and Sasha and Charlotte were all together. Yeah, they're doing that retread act. It works fine, I guess, but...
Hey, history shows it works, so, you know, keep going.
That's how it works, yes.
Wait, don't forget, I don't know if you mentioned Emma and Dana as well.
Yeah.
When they were down there. Then they brought it up, and Emma got hurt, but...
It works.
The way WWE, though, is bringing...
But no, but...
Oh, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was finished.
Well, I don't buy the age thing anymore with WWE. How old's Randy Orton? Most of those guys are like early to mid-30s now. So bringing in Asuka and then going, well, she's 30. I mean, I'm not you personally, obviously, but bringing someone in, be like, all right, well, we're going to coach her up, or we're going to use her as our player coach. And they go, well, no, that's it for us. Like, well, what the hell are you doing? If you've got her inexperienced matches with these people, you can keep them there, help them out, and then bring her up to the main roster. Can you imagine what good she could do? Because we never got to see a Sasha Banks. Bailey, we did, obviously. We never got to see Charlotte. We never got to see Becky Lynch. Alexa Bliss, who has turned out to be really fun. We never saw her against any of them. So imagine those matches on the main roster, the back and forth with that. And so it's also not me running the thing. It's older guys. So
I think it brought up.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Is it happening, Kevin?
It's happening. It's time. It's time. It's time for the Chris Translate.
All right. We'll give this another try. Can you try that again, Chris?
Oh, did we completely lose him?
Uh-oh, I was gonna say, because that was a real question. Actually, I wasn't trying to be a dick for a change.
Oh, the look on his face when that froze was outstanding on my end. I just saw like a kind of a look. And I know that it was just because it just froze at the perfect time.
That was just
time.
Chris smiling.
Well, I do think it's one of those things that, to me, it kind of goes to some of what they're doing with the main WWE roster. In some ways with the age thing, like I think they realized with Owens and Zayn and Finn Balor that they are in their mid-30s, and there still is a limited shelf life for someone's athletic prowess, honestly.
And I
felt like they kind of pulled them up because, A, all of them have had a ton of in-ring experience. So, honestly, what's the WWE really going to teach them other than some finer points of their own style? Outside of that, they pretty much let them go. And really, you could do the same thing with Asuka. Like, I mean, she's been in NXT longer than Owens was. You know, and probably even longer than Zayn at this point, or at least somewhere in that area. And same with Finn Balor, really. You know, I don't feel like they spent much more than a year down there themselves. So, I would hope that if they came in with the idea that she was just going to be a player coach and they keep her with NXT, like, I would hope that they figured out at this point that maybe they should change their plans.
Yeah, I'm looking at like an abbreviated list of, and mostly the top guys, not named the Revival, are low to mid 30s. Alexa Bliss is only 25 years old.
Yeah, she's the women in general. I feel like have tended to be quite a bit younger, because I think Dana Brooke is pretty young too.
Sasha's 24, which that blows my mind. I thought she was older. I mean, not like in a bad way, but it just seems like, I guess as a fan, she's been around forever. So she's just amazing when they just start young.
Yeah, she's one of those ones that, well, she didn't do all the extra stuff that Becky Lynch did in the meantime. Because I keep
Charlotte's 30, so.
I keep on laughing that I put Becky Lynch in one of those Who's the Hottest Woman in Wrestling things on the Torch message boards back in the day when she was like 18 years old. And it never really dawned on me that was her until I think the WWE showed that old picture of her on some program. I'm like, holy shit, I remember that face.
Who won that tournament, by the way? Do you remember?
Oh, no. No.
It was kind of an upset. It was someone no one really saw coming.
Was it Maria Kanellis?
Oh, no. Because she was pretty popular at that time.
I think it's quite wonderful.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I've. What's funny though is I'm looking at, yeah, like Bayley's 27, Becky Lynch is 29, Beth Phoenix is 36. I mean, no, she's not there anymore, but she got out pretty early. She got out roughly about the time, like.
Probably when she was 30.
Yeah. But, and just to make you feel better about yourself. James Ellsworth is 31. That's it. Wow. I mean, I'll tell people I'm 42, and they're like, no. I'm like, well, thanks, but yeah. If James Ellsworth told me he was 31, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You've got to be at least 40. Is it obvious he's going to turn on Dean Ambrose eventually?
Oh, well,
I ask this all the time, but
I would think that Sunday would be the time for that to happen. Just because, I was a little surprised tonight when AJ Styles almost killed him.
Oh, yeah.
That was
because
I actually thought he hit his head on the stairs.
At least he didn't tuck his head.
Yeah,
at least he didn't tuck his head like last time. Yeah, no, I don't want to. I don't know if there's any real comparison, but I'm going to make the comparison anyway. It was kind of like that Brock Lesnar, Zach Allen situation where a guy was just, here's my body, do whatever you want to it.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And I honestly thought the intention at first was to have him, to have Styles land the Styles Clash on the stairs themselves.
That's what I thought.
So when he jumped off of them,
I didn't think they were sure that after what happened in the ring the last time, that was frightening. That was probably more frightening than Shane McMahon's jump off the cage at WrestleMania. what happened the last time they were in the ring together when they did that move. You know, the reputation of the Styles Clash, if you don't take it exactly right, if you don't do exactly as AJ Styles says, as they say, yeah, that was, I wouldn't have approved that.
But again, it's, these guys are still pros, so, it's, I know, but it's just like the whole thing when I see people, like, seeing like Braun Strowman destroying those guys, running across the ring in the splash, and it's like, I don't know how they're not dead. Well, they're pros. They know what they're doing. It looks dangerous because, one, it is, but then, two, that's their job to make it look dangerous. So, yeah.
Ellsworth is pretty awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know what in Northeast Indies he worked, what training school he went through. I know he's, I'm saying he talked about it. I don't remember off the top of my head, but the fact that I don't remember it off the top of my head tells me it's not anything of note. You know, he wasn't trained by anything of note. He hasn't done anything of note. He was, you know, a one-note joke that took off. I mean, so yeah, doing moves like that with a guy like him, definitely dangerous. But I hope it worked out. Or it seems like it.
Yeah, I think it's a nice way to get rid of him for a little bit if they wanted to. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, he started in 2002. He's not a Johnny. I don't want to say Johnny come lately, because obviously, you know, but he's been around. That's 14 years. So his name was Pretty Jimmy Dean. I'm sorry, Pretty Jimmy Dream, and often as part of a tag team with Adam Ugly as Pretty Ugly. If that's not an indie name.
Wow,
it's great. Oh, he wrestled Drew Gulag. Oh. Well, all right.
Yeah, well, he has less definition in his body than I do, so, and I'm not exactly a dream boat at this point.
Yeah. Now here's the thing, and I know it's kind of all over with the show, but what do you guys feel about the criticism of this James Ellsworth AJ Styles thing? I've read people losing their minds about this, about how it makes AJ Styles look stupid. He's a WWE champion. He shouldn't be losing to this guy. What do you guys think?
I mean, AJ Styles pointed it out, which is, you know, all of his wins have been, you can't even call them fluke wins. AJ Styles whooped his ass 3 times, and then Dean Ambrose has helped him win 3 times. Mm-hmm. There's a distinction there. Like, nobody is ever going to take that seriously. Like, because I kind of hate that, take wins at all costs mentality. Because they're just not all equal. Like, a clean win over an opponent, and I mean, this is something we talk about on a fairly regular basis too, does way more for somebody than, you know, I don't even know if you call that a tainted victory. That's a victory handed to you. Like, at least if, can we use, like, Owens or Jericho getting help or giving help to Owens? Like, at least Owens was in the match for some, you know, 15, 20 minutes with Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins before he got the help. Like, he could hold his own. Like, Ellsworth is only in the match for, like, maybe 6 minutes at the most. And they do a lot of AJ Styles, you know, just being too cocky for his own good and not putting him out of his misery right away. and you know, other gimmicks.
I mean, it's been a fun story. I don't think AJ Styles has lost anything really. You know, this is one thing where, quote unquote, the smarts, and even, you know, some people have been in the business, even old wrestlers, people like Lance Storm, and, you know, I don't want to say sour grapes, but, you know, just not liking it. It's a fun thing. It's taking, you know, the AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose story in a different direction. You know, it's created a new star, and, you know what, and everything built to the moment tonight, you know, talking about how the danger of the spot, you know, whatever, but after weeks of being played the fool, AJ Styles showed a mean streak and a viciousness. He did get that moment. Mm-hmm.
He's always, you know, the ones always like, just watch the damn show, whatever. And I think in this case, this is one of those well-deserved ones, because if you watch, what was the first time, wasn't Ambrose a special referee?
I think so.
Yeah, the special guest referee bit, yeah.
So Styles had him beaten 2 seconds, and Ambrose refused to count. And then Ambrose, what, hit him? And then did a quick count as well. And then yet another one where, the ladder match was next? Whatever was next. Regardless, as AJ Styles pointed out, and also if the supposedly smart people, the old guys in the business, watch the matches, AJ Styles is working his ass off. That ladder match, he did everything. And then actually somehow fell off a ladder and got his foot caught between the ropes.
Well, no, he splatted on the floor, then he took the super kick and then ended up in the ropes.
Yeah, that's right. That was it. Yeah. And then this week, as Kevin pointed out, very vehemently, like, no, the only reason he's even here is because of you. And even to speak on what you said, Chris, AJ Styles has become way more vicious. I mean, that Survivor Series stuff with him and Dean just going at it was great. And then today, you know, he comes out, destroys Ellsworth, beats the hell out of
Ambrose
as well. But then he's also, through these weeks, even though he's losing, his cockiness is off the charts, which is exactly what TNA should have done with him. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring them into this, but...
Well...
If you think about it, this is exactly what TNA should have done as soon as AJ Styles won the title, like, way back when, the first time. The first time he was a heel and won it. And instead, he was like a sycophant for Flair or Kurt Angle or something. Just idiots. But now you see how good this guy is. And I don't understand the criticism. And you know what? James Ellsworth is going to be gone in a year. I'm guessing the contract he signs is not that long. And even if it is long, he's not going to be on TV that long. I honestly can't imagine it. So I don't know why everyone can't just sit back, have fun. And that's why I keep saying he's going to turn on Dean eventually. And it's probably going to be the end, of him, which is
right.
Sad to say.
Actually, you know what? I don't know if that's going to come anytime soon. I think it would be even more ridiculous than him just showing up in a neck brace after Braun Strowman threw him off the stage. I think it'd be absolutely ridiculous if he shows up at TLC. I don't want him showing up, you know, like in a full body cast at TLC or getting involved or whatever. That might be a little too cute. But I brought this up last night. I could see them doing AJ Styles versus James Ellsworth in the title match at the Royal Rumble. He's got that title shot in the bank.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? I'm with you because if they want to make this the most star-studded Royal Rumble, well, they also keep talking about, was it Undertaker versus AJ Styles is a rumor as well. But, because Undertaker never really backed up his promise of being pissed off at everybody.
Well, they won.
Yeah, they won.
Holy shit. I knew that sounded weird saying that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it was already out. And before I could even correct it, anyways.
Yeah, so there's something to really, I mean, I guess 2000 DNA could have screwed things up. And Shane brought that up last week. But yeah, no, you put Undertaker and Cena in the Rumble along with Goldberg and
Well, no,
and
I even mean AJ Styles, because you could have him and Ellsworth go 5 minutes, and then AJ be like, all right, and then just take Ellsworth's spot, or just say, I'm going in the Rumble myself now. Something like that.
Yeah, so. You do a lot of things. Yeah, I see this, you know, I mean, the Rumble, some years they'll put on big championship matches. Other years, whatever. It's not what's selling the show. This could be one of those years. I mean, granted, they've got a huge building to fill, but when you're putting Goldberg, Lesnar, maybe Undertaker, Cena all in the Rumble match, I think you're doing all right. And they're not. Yeah. They're not really pushing like a 60,000 plus, you know, expectations for this. So maybe, you know, if they sell 40,000 tickets and reconfigure, have the building configured and carpeted, and you know, carpeted, not carpeted, dog. You know, God damn it! Hey, curtain. Yeah. And I flew away. Forgot it. You guys
still super. Yeah, that'd be a way. That'd be a waste of carpet.
That would be a waste of carpet. That would be. But no, yeah, you curtain it off. I mean, so yeah. I mean, maybe you don't necessarily need to, you know, throw everything at the wall. I mean, just throw it at the Rumble.
I don't know. Do you run the risk of a James Ellsworth AJ Styles match for a dome show? I mean, I know you're saying that they're not packing it like one, but I don't know, man. That'd be kind of crazy.
I'm spitballing here. I mean,
yeah.
Either you run AJ Styles versus because AJ Styles, I don't expect Dean Ambrose to win on Sunday. And that's gonna be done and over with, except, you know, on house shows because they have nothing else. And you're either left with the joke match with Ellsworth, or one of your big matches, whether it be Styles versus Cena or Styles versus Undertaker.
Well, Cena just got picked up for another movie, so who the hell knows when he's kind of actually coming back? So I don't know. I don't know if that'll work.
I imagine he plans on being back for the Rumble, but I guess I don't know for sure. I mean, he's still at, I think he's actually advertised for Madison Square Garden the day after Christmas.
Okay, but
I think still, at least last I checked, he still was. Or last I saw something in the Observer, you know, news update, he still was.
Yeah, I'd be pretty shocked if he wasn't back for a pay-per-view that big. Even if it's for, you know, just the Rumble match itself.
Yeah, and especially for a big show like that. Because, I mean, because they're doing TakeOver as well. So they're making this a big weekend. So, which I thought was a great idea to do the big four again. But whatever. So, but yeah, I don't know. I've been pleasantly pleased with WWE as a whole lately. Raw getting better helps. NXT's been good. I'll have to check out. I keep wanting to call it 405, which would be hilarious. Cruiserweights at 405 pounds and below. Like, okay. It could be like the X division.
So, but no limitations.
Yeah. So, yeah, but no, it was no limits or some. No.
Was there something about me, but God, how do I remember this? It's not about weight limits, it's about no limits.
That's it.
God, if I could.
I knew it was something about no limits. Yeah. But how long have we been going anyways? I forgot.
Well, we are, we've gone well over our normal limit.
Okay. But because there's one thing, in 3 weeks, Matt Hardy is coming to the Cabarrus Arena, where I saw NXT a few months ago. And have you been watching TNA, you guys?
I watched two weeks ago.
I'm pretty caught up. I mean, I barely watch anything but Matt Hardy segments. But
that's all I watch. I just fast forward the rest of it.
Man, I put myself through the paces watching the other stuff.
And 2 weeks from Thursday, Total Nonstop Deletion. That I'm excited about.
Yep, and then It's for PWX here. It is instead of season's greetings, it's season's deletings. And I've got the go-ahead to get tickets, so I'm taking the girl. We're going to our first indie show, and broken Matt Hardy, because he got hit by a bolt of lightning from the Seven Deities at the end of Impact last week. He is now broken Matt Hardy again. I couldn't be happier. Because he did the old thing where, you know, he was talking about his ice cream social. And no, this one was his Thanksgiving feast, because he always wanted to be a kook. And he goes, so if these 12 deities, and then Rebby's like, it's 7 deities. He goes, oh, if these 7 deities are for real, give me a sign. Psst, nailed him with a lightning bolt. He falls to the ground and wakes up going, ah, I got goosebumps at the end of, at the end of Impact like a fucking moron. I was so happy he was back. So
yeah, it is still great. I wonder if they'll be able to really keep it going after total nonstop deletion, because that's, you know, that's a pretty good crescendo for this whole thing. Although I don't think he's changing any more gimmicks anytime soon. But they still got something here, at least on his indie appearance level, which of course, you know, TNA is all pretty much an infomercial for all the Hardys outside ventures for them.
Yeah, well, even on Impact this week, Vanguard 1 showed up, and Vanguard 1 was drinking. It was so depressed it was drinking. Yes. The drone was drinking a drink out of a straw, telling Senior Benjamin that when he finally remembers, he's going to be pissed off at you for, like, making him do all the stuff you're supposed to be doing. Because he's had him building stuff, he's had him gardening, all this stuff.
Oh.
All the stuff Senior Benjamin's supposed to be doing.
I have seen a couple of those segments.
It was great. So
Jeremy, are they advertising the whole Hardy plan yet, or is it just Matt for right now?
No, just Matt. Just Matt. So.
I'd so love. I mean, one of my favorite stories about, you know, Matt bringing the whole plan with them to appearances is Senor Benjamin sitting at one table, one gimmick table. Next to him is Terry Funk, and an autograph of Senor Benjamin is only $5 less.
That's great. Nope. I begrudge none of these guys. I wonder, like, if King Maxwell will have his own booth just to see what they can do.
He's supposed to have his debut match at Total Nonstop Deletion. Maybe he'll win the X Division title. Who knows?
It's just retarded. It just is. I just remember I wasn't watching Impact, and the only reason I started watching here and there was Shahid hitting me up and going, I'm watching a wrestling match with Tyrus, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Tyrus.
Matt Hardy's wife, and they're holding a goddamn baby. I was like, what? It's like, yeah, Matt Hardy's actually using his real baby as a prop. I'm like, you've got to be joking.
I don't think I had Pop TV at that point, so no, I never saw the Big Money Matt stuff where they first started bringing Remy and Max into the play.
Big Money Matt was cool, too. I mean, he's,
that was good stuff.
I guess, stay out of his way. I think I've said this before on the shows, but that's got to be one of the better stories you know, I don't know him, but in the hopes that he is still clean and he's just got all his stuff together. I mean, he's got all his shit together and apparently creative as hell again and making some money. That's pretty sweet. It's not always the redemption stories work out so well. So, but anyways, I guess we should get out of here, huh?
Yeah, I have been drinking a fine beverage from Seventh Son called Big Black Cow, which is a milk stout, oatmeal milk stout. Pretty tasty. So, you know, if you ever make your way to Columbus, it probably won't be on tap because they're mentioning that it's seasonal, so it's probably only a winter beer. But that's all I got. So you guys can do the sign. Oh, actually, I forgot. At DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, at Jeremy May, or at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Now you guys can pick some send off lines.
So wait a minute, is the hashtag on Instagram Bell Time or Ring Time Beer?
Bell Time.
That's what I thought. That's what I was using.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm gonna be drinking for a while after binging after that game Saturday. So I think it's drinking from 11 o'clock in the morning till midnight when you're 42 years old. I don't know if that's awesome or sad, but I'm just going to take a few weeks off, I think. So, yeah, no pictures of, no Bell Time beer for me. So, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. That's probably not going to stick, but whatever. So, this was fun, guys. Have fun. Everyone, take care. Make sure and subscribe to Stunt Granny and all the, what's it called? Podcast platforms.
Yes.
That way you get all the shows. This one, which you may not be listening anymore. We watch stuff as Shahid and I. Opa is Kevin and Ken. And there you go. So I'm out. Peace out, guys.
Night, everybody.